Track 2. Hello and welcome to the news, recorded on Wednesday the 11th of January 2017. I'm Beth.
I'm Ian.
And I'm Joyce.
And your sound engineers this week are Martin and John. This week we have one new member and we welcome Dorothy Shears. We hope you will enjoy receiving your discs. Next, we would like to say a big thank you to the listeners who have kindly sent us a donation last week towards the funding of our Talking News and magazine. They are Joan Simmons and Anne Hollyhead. So once again, thank you for your donations, which really count towards the running of the Talking Newspaper and magazine. And now Ian will start us off with the news.
There has been an angry reaction to news that a personal injury firm is advertising on NHS-branded leaflets in the A&E of a Black Country hospital. The Dudley Group NHS Foundation Trust receives £12,000 a year from BOE Publishing for advertisements, including one on the back of a six-page card titled "Welcome to the Emergency Department." The personal injury lawyers advertise their work with the slogan, "There is no shame in making an honest claim." The leaflets are in the emergency department of Dudley's Russell Hall Hospital. Reacting to the leaflets, Dudley councillor Paul Brothwood said, "It's absolutely disgusting and highly inappropriate. The NHS is a public service and this is not the sort of behaviour that should be going on in a hospital. If people want to seek legal advice, then they are able to do that themselves away from the hospital environment." In response, the Hospital Trust explained that through their contract with BOE Publishing, they are supplied with information leaflets for their emergency department and also receive £12,000 a year. The Trust has highlighted that the money generated from this arrangement goes toward improving the experience of patients at the hospital and in particular has been used to enhance a room for relatives in the emergency department. However, Councillor Brothwood said, "An extra £12,000 a year is not going to sort out their problems. Perhaps the management could take a pay cut instead." The Trust's acting chief executive, Dr. Paul Harrison, said, "The Trust has used a company to provide patient information leaflets in our emergency department for 5 years. We use this way of producing the leaflets to enable us to provide good quality patient information at no cost to the NHS or the taxpayer." The advert for the personal injury laws encourages patients to ring or text to get further details. BOE Publishing is based in Blackpool and provides patient information to around 200 hospitals across the country.
Police have made a fresh plea to help catch the prime suspect in the murder of a Black Country man after revealing that no one has come forward. Detectives believe Nyron Parker Lee is still in the country, but say not one person has come forward with information about his whereabouts, despite a £2,000 reward from Crime Stoppers. An inquest on Mansour Mahmood of Bague Walk, who was stabbed to death in Briley Hill High Street, is now on hold while police carry out their search. Detective Inspector Nigel Harrison said at a pre-inquest, "There is a suspect we are trying to trace whose name is Nyron Parker Lee. I anticipate a criminal prosecution will be brought forward against this man, but so far we've been unable to apprehend him. This is causing myself and the family of Mr. Mahmood a great deal of stress. We have carried out a media campaign to try and track him down, including a Crime Stoppers reward for information. There is no reason to believe that he has fled the country, and I don't believe he has a passport. No one has come forward to help us. From the evidence we have secured, there is no other person responsible for the death of Mr. Mahmood, and this will be an allegation of murder brought forward when we can just do that. I am surprised we haven't arrested him yet. He is a young man, so he may be being looked after by someone else. Mr. Mahmood died in hospital after staggering into Dixie Chicken with stab wounds shortly before 5 p.m. on October the 15th. Coroner Zafar Siddiq has adjourned the inquest until March the 1st. West Midlands Police spokesperson Brig Ford said that the force is appealing once again for anyone with information to get in touch on 101 or via Crime Stoppers on 0800 555 111.
A speeding driver who killed teenager Georgie Ann Evans in a hit-and-run crash in the Black Country has been locked up for 6 years. Cuba Ollis pleaded guilty to causing the 18-year-old's death by dangerous driving at Wolverhampton Crown Court on Monday morning. He was handed a 6-year jail term and a 14-year driving ban after also admitting failing to stop at a road accident and failing to report an accident. Ollis, aged 24, and of Wolverhampton Street, Dudley, killed Miss Evans when he smashed the Audi he was driving into her Ford Fiesta in Dudley at around 10:30 p.m. on October the 27th last year. The teenager from Himley died at the scene of the crash on Priory Road at the junction of Cedar Road, and Ollis handed himself in to police a day later. At the time, Miss Evans' parents paid tribute to their teenage daughter, who they described as beautiful, kind-hearted and spirited.
A controversial plan to build homes on the site of former swimming baths is back on the table, a year after a similar scheme stalled. People living near the Coesley Bath site have been left in the dark since a Dudley Council application to put 24 homes on the site was lodged last year. The development failed to progress, and it has now emerged the plans had to be amended due to opposition from residents. A new application is expected to be lodged in the coming weeks. The 1.5-acre site on Pear Tree Lane has been fenced off since the baths were knocked down. They were closed controversially in 2009, despite a hard-fought campaign to keep them open. Residents and councillors have demanded to know what is happening with the council-owned land. Talk of any development went quiet after the application went in, and no decision was made on it by council planning bosses, leaving residents questioning whether the homes would be built or not. The application for 8 2-bedroom, 10 3-bedroom and 6 4-bedroom homes was submitted in December 2015 by Public Sector PLC, which is a private company part-owned by Dudley Council. The application has yet to be resubmitted, meaning even if it finally gets the go-ahead, any work on the new homes could still be months away. More than 40 people signed a petition against the development, raising a raft of complaints, including that the site was too small for the amount of properties proposed and the potential for a loss of light and privacy to existing homes.
West Midlands Ambulance Service received more than 3,200 calls on Christmas Day, new figures have revealed. The 3,241 calls that they answered is 387 more than on December the 25th last year, an increase of 13.5%. It followed a similarly busy Christmas Eve when they dealt with 3,296 calls. This equates to an average of more than 137 calls per hour. But Boxing Day and Bank Holiday Tuesday were even busier, still seeing 3,699 and 3,766 calls for help, respectively. The only busier day in 2016 was January the 1st, when there were 3,806 calls. Taking to Twitter to share news of their hectic shifts over Christmas was Lucy Parrott, an ambulance dispatcher based at Millennium Point Waterfront Business Park in Briley Hill. After working overnight on Boxing Day, she tweeted, "Phew, in 12 hours, West Midlands Ambulance Service dealt with over 1,800 jobs. That's about 150 per hour all through the night. Handed over today and off for sleep." She also highlighted how many of those who rang through should not have called the ambulance service in the first place. Many calls to West Midlands Ambulance Service continue to be inappropriate and could easily be dealt with by the 111 service and other pathways. 999 is emergencies only, she tweeted.
A move to close a ward at Russell's Hall Hospital was abandoned because of the increasing demand on A&E, health chiefs revealed. The Dudley Group NHS Foundation Trust had planned to shut Ward A1 and reduce temporary staff numbers as part of a more than 50 cost-cutting schemes, but has faced an unprecedented level of demand over the Christmas period. Now bosses have confirmed that instead of being closed, the ward has instead been converted into a new GP-led rehabilitation facility called the Evergreen Unit. More than 600 patients poured into A&E at Russell's Hall every day over the Christmas and New Year period, with a call from bosses for people to avoid hospital if at all possible. Through the ward closure and other money-saving initiatives, the Trust was looking to save a total of more than £11.9 million over the financial year 2016-17, but they now expect the savings to be closer to £10.2 million. Hospital bosses also disclosed that the planned savings have been hit by a delay in introducing new medical equipment. Dr. Paul Harrison, acting chief executive, said, "We have 57 individual cost improvement programmes schemes underway which aim to improve patient care and experience whilst also ensuring good value for money." So far this year, projects have saved the Trust £6.8 million. By the end of the financial year, we expect the savings to be £10.2 million. Some of our projects have not yet made the level of savings we anticipated. We had hoped to close one of our inpatient wards. However, due to increased pressure and emergency admissions, this has not been possible. As a result, we were also unable to reduce our temporary staffing spend to the level we had hoped. There has also been a delay in introducing new medical equipment into our pathology laboratories, which will eventually save us nearly £1 million per annum.
Dudley hero Duncan Edwards' memorabilia collection looks set to be sold to Manchester United. The move has sparked fears that it could be moved out of the town. The collection had been based at the Dudley Museum and Art Gallery, which has now closed. It has emerged that Edwards' former club, Manchester United, has been in talks with his family to buy it and potentially to shift it to Old Trafford. Dudley councillor and MEP, Bill Etheridge, has requested talks with United in order to find out their intentions for the collection. He says council officers are working hard on a deal that could see parts of the collection loaned back to go on display at Dudley Archives. "The family have been very kind to allow the items to be on display to the public in Dudley for so long," he said. "However, it appears that they have now decided to sell the collection. I believe it is in the interest of the town to make efforts to implore Manchester United to show some goodwill and allow some, if not all, of the items to remain on display here. The club has an excellent museum of their own, but I'm sure they realise how big a part Duncan Edwards has played in Dudley's history. It is important we do our bit to preserve his legacy in the town for future generations." Mr. Etheridge said he has written to Manchester United requesting a meeting to discuss the club's plans. Rose Cook, founder of the Duncan Edwards Foundation, said, "Duncan's mum Sarah always said she wanted his memorabilia to be in Dudley, and that would be my wish. Hopefully Manchester United will also see it this way, but regardless of what happens to the collection, Duncan's legacy will still be kept alive in Dudley." Edwards, who was part of Manchester United's famous Busby Babes side, is the most famous footballer to have come out of Dudley, and he is immortalised by a statue in the town centre. He was tragically killed in the Munich air disaster of 1958, aged 21. Councillor Khurshid Ahmed, Dudley Council's cabinet member for planning and economic development, said, "We are in discussions with the family who own the Duncan Edwards collection about its future. Duncan Edwards' legacy is a very important part of our tourism, and clearly we will do everything we can to continue to celebrate his life in Dudley." The Duncan Edwards and Local Sporting Heroes Gallery first opened in 2008 and includes his 18 England caps, first England shirts, as well as numerous medals and programmes featuring him inside.
More than 3,300 people in the Black Country and Staffordshire have backed a petition calling on the government to ban the sale of fireworks to members of the public. The petition, which has been signed by about 150,000 people across the country, wants only organised displays to be approved to help prevent injuries and to protect animals. But in a response, the government said it had no plans to limit the sale and use of fireworks any further. Despite tens of thousands of responses, however, the matter will not be debated in Parliament, as it was previously discussed in early June. Mike Old, who created the petition, wrote, "Every year people are hurt, burnt, maimed, and even lose their lives through accidents involving fireworks. Every year people are terrorised by the misuse of fireworks. Every year animals are hurt and traumatised by fireworks." A spokesman for the Department for Business, Energy and Industrial Strategy said, "The government recognises the concerns raised about the use of fireworks by the public, particularly the potential distress caused by the use of noisy fireworks to pets, livestock and the public, and injuries caused by accidents and the misuse of fireworks. Many individuals enjoy being able to hold private firework displays at home and have a sensible and responsible attitude to their use. Indeed, the majority of the public who use fireworks do so in a safe and considerate way. It is only an antisocial minority that uses them dangerously and inconsiderately. While members of the public can hold private firework displays at any time of the year, they are subject to strict curfews, which prevent fireworks being used after 11 p.m. except on a limited number of specific nights of the year around the traditional celebrations of November the 5th, when they can be used until midnight or New Year, Chinese New Year and Diwali, when they can be used until 1 a.m.
Work paving the way for the extension of the Midland Metro in Wolverhampton city centre was set to get underway this week. Council bosses have warned motorists to expect a year of chaos on the city's roads, while the £15 million new line along Pipers Row and Railway Drive, linking Wolverhampton St George's stop with the railway station, is installed. The programme of engineering work will start with the relocation and protection of underground gas, water and electric supply pipes and cables in Pipers Row. Once the utilities work is complete, construction on the extension can begin in the summer. Northbound access to Pipers Row is now via Tower Street and Market Street. Southbound traffic is permitted. Access northbound to Castle Street is restricted to businesses and local residents. It comes as a new road layout and entrance to Wolverhampton Rail Station opened on January the 8th. Railway Drive is now closed off to traffic and a new vehicle access to the site has opened, complete with a kiss-and-ride zone for those dropping off passengers in a hurry. But the initial response from drivers using the station is that it will take some getting used to, and some argued the new layout is worse than before. The work, which has seen a team of 80 people on the site at any one time, is part of the city's £132 million interchange improvements. Council chiefs said the new entrance, accessible via Cornhill, will enable travellers to be dropped off right at the entrance to the station, with more space for motorists to drive around the one-way drop-off system. The kiss-and-ride zone is the one right by the entrance, but only allows a 5-minute quick farewell. Nearby is a 25-minute drop-off zone for those who want to have a longer goodbye.
Dudley Zoo is celebrating its 80th anniversary with a £345,000 revamp that will bring visitors even closer to the animals. Seven projects are in the pipeline for 2017, including new extended homes for the yellow-breasted capuchins, snow leopards, parrots, macaws and cockatoos, as well as a larger farmyard and barn. There will also be a breeding facility for the rainbow lorikeets, but the most ambitious plan involves reopening the iconic former tropical tecton birdhouse. Zoo director Derek Grove said, "These improvements will hugely benefit our animals and visitors as we bring older enclosures up to date." The first stage of the work, expected to be completed in time for the Easter holidays, includes a massive £90,000 revamp of the popular farmyard, as well as a £20,000 rebuild of the outdoor area for the Capuchins in the small primate house. The former Geoffrey's cat enclosure will be demolished to make way for a bigger internal den for the Carpathian lynx at a cost of £25,000, which will include climbing frames and a new visitor viewing area. On May the 6th, which will mark 80 years since the zoo opened to the public in 1937, bosses hope to unveil the new £50,000 all-weather animal exhibit, which will bring an original Tecton building back into use. The Grade 2 listed building currently forms part of the lion paddock boundary as an indoor exhibit for a variety of South American species, including large hairy armadillos, sloths and marmosets, and tamarins. Mr. Grove said, "The circular building with its cantilevered balcony has been out of use inside for over 7 years, having last been used as a children's discovery area and has been closed as a tropical birdhouse for over 30 years. It is no longer practical to display tropical birds within this building, so we're really excited with these plans, which will provide another all-weather animal exhibit and will see a range of new species to boost the ever-growing collection at Dudley Zoo." Meanwhile, the three old parrot aviaries next to the otter enclosure will be replaced with one large mixed enclosure with a glass viewing area for visitors to get closer to the animals. Set to cost £40,000, it is hoped the new aviary will be open for Whitsun. And in time for the summer holidays, zoo bosses hope to unveil the new £100,000 snow leopard enclosure following a 12-month fundraising drive. The revamped attraction will include an extension to the outdoor facilities, new glass viewing areas and platforms for the big cats. A £20,000 overhaul will also take place of the Queen Mary Aviary, which will become a breeding facility for the rainbow lorikeets.
A serial criminal who drove a stolen £30,000 car on the rims of its wheels after its tyres were torn off during a race through the Black Country has been jailed for 4 years. Andrew Twist, aged 35, reached 90 miles per hour in a 40 mile per hour zone. He went through red lights and travelled the wrong way round traffic islands in a black Mercedes ML250 hours after it had been stolen from Stourbridge, Wolverhampton Crown Court heard. He struck glancing blows to two cars while others, and at least one cyclist, were forced to swerve and mount the pavement to avoid a collision. A police car was deliberately driven into. The stolen Mercedes was identified by a vehicle recognition camera on the A41 Black Country route near Wensbury around 3 p.m. on August the 24th last year. Police patrols were alerted and it was soon spotted by an unmarked traffic car travelling in the opposite direction along the dual carriageway that quickly turned round to give chase. Prosecutor Mr. David Isles said the defendant then made a frantic, desperate and despairing effort to outrun the police without success. He displayed a deplorable standard of driving, cannoning into police cars, deliberately driving on the rims of the car's wheels and hitting other vehicles. The pursuit continued for 6.6 miles and lasted up to 15 minutes. Six police cars were involved in the pursuit, which continued along the A41 before peeling off into the centre of West Bromwich, driving past the police station and heading towards Tividale. Three police stingers were deployed during the chase, with two bursting the Mercedes tyres. The defendant continued while the rubber shredded and each tyre in turn was ripped from the wheels, leaving the car travelling on the rims, and he still would not stop. At times, the chase was reduced to a crawl as the convoy of vehicles travelling at 15 miles per hour until the police cars were given permission to box in the badly damaged Mercedes in Dudley Road West, Dividale. Twist locked himself in the car, forcing an officer to smash the driver's window with a baton. Mr. Isle said the defendant was still making efforts to escape and struggled with the police. He was full of fight and had to be handcuffed. Mr. Stephen Hamblett, defending, said he had acquired the Mercedes and was on his way to sell it to get money for drugs. He panicked when he was spotted because he knew that the vehicle had been stolen. Much of the chase was at a low speed. It was futile. He was going nowhere and the end was inevitable. Twist, of Leys Crescent, Briley Hill, admitted dangerous driving, having neither insurance nor licence, and handling stolen property. Recorder Greg Price told him, "Blatant, arrogant and reckless driving like this is rare."
Wolverhampton Grand Theatre will produce its first in-house show for more than four decades later this year, theatre bosses have announced. The news comes as the Grand confirms more than 60,000 people will have seen this year's pantomime, Aladdin, at the venue when it closes later this month, in what has been proclaimed a roaring success. Vicky Price, Associate Director of Development and Communications, said, "This year's pantomime, Aladdin, has been a roaring success. Customer feedback has been positive, there have been five-star reviews and the casting has been highly complimented. The return to a more traditional pantomime style has been very much appreciated by our audience and we will continue to develop this in the coming years. I would estimate that over 60,000 people will have seen it by the time the run ends on Sunday the 22nd of January. The in-house production of Brassed Off, to run from August the 23rd to September the 2nd, follows the theatre's £1.2 million refurbishment, which was unveiled in September. Grand Chief said the show is the first drama to be produced by the theatre for 40 years and will feature a community cast who will appear in a variety of speaking and non-speaking roles alongside high-profile professional actors, to be announced soon. A full brass band will form a key part of the production, while casting and auditions for local performers will be announced in the near future. Brassed Off was written by Paul Allen, adapted from the screenplay by Mark Herman. Tickets are still available for Aladdin, which runs at Wolverhampton Grand Theatre until January 22nd. Tickets for Aladdin can be bought from the box office in person or by calling 01902 429212. They can also be bought online at Grand Theatre, and that's all one word, .co.uk. Tickets for Brassed Off are also now available.
Counting by numbers, two by two, at the West Midlands Safari Park is a logistical nightmare that tries the patience of staff. Each year, it, along with other zoos and wildlife parks across the country, are duty-bound to count up and record their creatures, great and small. It would be a simple job if the animals could be persuaded to line up two by two. But when you have an ever-moving mass, it can become a thankless task. Workers at the park, which sits alongside the Severn Valley Railway near Bewdley, have been taken to jeeps, embarking on the stock take on foot, or even crawling on hands and knees. Each is armed with a clipboard, ticking off the animals as part of an exercise that ensures numbers at zoos and parks are monitored. As part of the animal count, all birds, reptiles and insects, including the cockroaches and the ants, have to be noted down, although staff are allowed to count the larger creatures, such as the lions and rhinos, from a suitable distance to ensure their own safety. Staff have to deal with many creatures camouflaged in the trees or hidden under the cover of darkness. Once collected, the figures are sent off to Wild Forest District Council, which then grants the park its licence. The statistics are also an indicator for the attraction's popularity and the success of breeding and conservation programmes.
And with that final news item from Ian, we'll now make way for this week's notices. So it's goodbye from Beth.
Goodbye from Ian.
And goodbye from Joyce.